Good evening, and welcome to Harris and Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Denny Wilson. I'm the preacher for the De Leon Church of Christ. I'm sitting in tonight for Tom Moore, and with me tonight is Frank Briscoe, preaching in Santo. He is filling in for David Harris tonight. We are so thankful that you're here with us on a night that's filled with storms and events all over the country, and we want to begin tonight by asking you to remember the people that are suffering so much across the country because of these storms, especially those in Moore, Oklahoma, who they're saying have had the storm of the century, 2.3 times or 2.5 times stronger than the one that they had back in 99. A very, very difficult time for those people there. Our hearts go out to them and for the children and for all those who are suffering and for our brethren that are hurting today because of the difficulties that they have faced. We're glad that you're here with us. We are broadcasting on the HPR network out of 97.7 FM, KATX, and also KNNK, 100.5, and we're glad that you're able to listen to us tonight. Also, we're on the knowthetruthradio.org, and you can listen to that online. You can also participate in the chat room. There's a chat box there that's available. If you are able to pull up the internet tonight, we'd love to have you participate with us in the chat room. We're not going to be able to take the live call in tonight because of Tom being gone, but we are encouraging you to come and put in your comments and questions and thoughts on the chat box. You can also listen on your iPhone or iPad at the TuneIn app if you have that available to you. And we would just be glad to have you with us tonight. We are so thankful for those who make this show possible. Of course, the Hillcrest congregation here in Stephenville, the Park Heights congregation in Hamilton, and then there are others who support this program, the Bangs Church of Christ, De Leon Church of Christ, Dublin Church of Christ, Rising Star Church of Christ, and also the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ. We're glad that they have chosen to participate in helping support this work. We're thankful for Tom and David and the work that they have done to spread the gospel in this part of the world and through the internet, through all over the world. And we're thankful for these men who have done so much, and it's an honor to sit in for them tonight. We also want you to know that you can listen to this program rebroadcast at 9 o'clock this evening on knowthetruthradio.org if that is your choice, and if you're able to do that, that's a great opportunity as well. Frank is a good man, a good preacher. He's here with us tonight, and Frank, I would like to ask you, if you don't mind, if you would open us up with a word of prayer, if you would, for those people that have lost their lives. They're saying, you know, at least 10 confirmed that they know of that have lost their lives, 7 children that drowned in the school, and maybe 20 or more in the school, and others who have suffered so much and lost their homes. Would you mind doing that for us tonight?
Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity and the privilege that we have of coming into your presence and knowing that you hear and recognize the feelings of our heart, recognizing the needs that we express to you. Father, there's so many in different areas that are suffering terrible things this evening as a result of some of the storms that have come, not only today, but in the days that have passed. And we would pray, Father, that you would be with those that are suffering, be with those that have lost loved ones, be with those that are rendering aid to them at this time, that they might have the strength and the ability to supply to them the things that they need this critical time in their life. We continue to ask your blessings upon them, upon us. Be with us through the night. Be with those folks. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, it's important that we thank God for the blessings that he gives us and also ask for help when we're in need. And, you know, we have an avenue of prayer. We have an avenue where we can talk to God. You know, what we're going to be talking about this evening is something very important tonight in particular. When we struggle, when we have difficulties, we have faith in God that we can go to him and pray. And yet there are so many in this world who do not believe in God. We're going to be talking about evolution and creation tonight, in part, and we're going to be asking the question, can we know there's a God? And if there is a God, what do we do then? And if you have been following for the last few weeks, you know that The series of studies has been built around an article that was in the Stephenville Empire Tribune, dated 3/14/13, that had a discussion, really, of some of the things that a student on the campus of Tarleton University was believing and participating in, and a group that's starting. In the article, there was some statements about praying and not receiving an answer to the prayers. And folks, we need to know that God hears us. He listens to our prayer. He's there for us. We need to understand prayer. But we also need to understand that we can know that there's a God. You know, listen to this quote, Frank. He said in his article, "I finally decided that Christianity is strictly based on faith, meaning without evidence. Evolution was beautiful and is full of evidence with millions and millions of records. I decided to go with a choice that has significant evidence behind it." And then he went on to say, "I'm a born-again atheist," or something to that effect. He's saying God is based on this leap of faith without evidence, that that you don't have anything to trust in, and yet evolution has millions upon millions of evidences available to them. You know, why is it, Frank, that there's so many people that believe this kind of idea, that evolution is true and there's no trust in God?
You know, one individual and asked that question, a Dr. Henry Morris, replied by saying, "The main reason most educated people believe in evolution is because they have been taught that most educated people believe in evolution." And I think that you can expand that to the fact that there are so many people that believe or say that they believe in evolution simply because they've been told that this is the thing to believe.
Positive peer pressure.
That's
kind of what they're facing here.
It is just simply based upon the fact that, well, this is what everybody believes, but it is not what everyone believes. And what we want to be able to do this evening is to show that there is a basis for Christianity, and that the faith is based upon the evidence that has been presented to us. And if you're going to accept the evidence that's given, we're going to look at the comparison between Christianity and atheism. The bottom line on atheism is the evidence that you have to believe is that something came from nothing.
That's right. You know, I like what Dr. Watson said. He said, "Evolution is accepted by zoologists to be true, not because it has been observed to occur or can be proven by logical coherent evidence to be true, but because the only alternative is special creation is clearly incredible." They don't want to believe in God. That's why so many choose. They have the peer pressure of people saying, "Listen, smart people, intelligent people believe in evolution." And then they have the other kind of emphasis that says, if evolution isn't true, then I have to believe in God. And if I believe in God, then I have to change my behavior.
And they want to refer to that as being incredible, that someone would dare to believe in the theory of creation, and yet their own theory is stated in this way: "In the beginning was matter, which begat a worm, which begat a fish, which begat an amphibian, which begat a reptile, which begat the lower mammals, which begat the lemur, which begat the monkey, which begat man, who imagined God." Now, which is more incredible?
That's right. You know, we were talking earlier about the lack of knowledge in the world, and there's so few people who really know the truth about this subject. They don't know the truth because in school, they're taught evolution. They're taught that it's true and that there's nothing to doubt or nothing to question. Just recently I went with a group to Longhorn Caverns. I don't know if you've been down there in the Marble Falls area. It's a beautiful place to go. Our tour guide was taking us through and showing us some of the rocks and the formations and telling us about how some of these things formed and some of the algae and the things that are in there. And at one point, he made the comment that this took 256 million years to come together. Not a few days, 256 million years. I know what he was saying. He was saying it wasn't God. It was evolution. He was saying it had to be. Why? You know, they don't have any clue how long anything took or how old anything is, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But it really bothered me that here is a man teaching children, and he talked down to those who might believe in creation and how it occurred in just a few days.
In most of the places where this type of thing is taught, schools and so forth, the books do not carry an account of creation. They only carry an account of evolution. And the reason behind it is the emphasis and the pressure that's put on by so many in the world that don't want to believe in God and do not want the responsibility of giving an account to God.
That's right. You know, when I think about the creation, in addition to Genesis 1, I can't help but think of Romans 1 and verse 20, where Paul writes, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." To me, that passage is saying, folks, you can see it. You can know it. The evidence is there. You don't have any reason to doubt God. You should believe in God and know that he's here. The air that we breathe, the sun that shines, the rain that falls, the seasons, the way they work, the design of how the world is put together, the way plants produce, the way animals produce, these things show design. And if you have design, you have to have a designer.
It goes back to the same thing that the psalmist said when he's talking about consider man, how marvelous he is. Look at how he's made. Look at all of the things that are necessary in order that the physical body be able to do to accomplish the things that is able to do. The world in which we live is indeed a marvelous, marvelous world.
You know, let's talk about some of the things that show the difference between creation and evolution for a little bit. And let's look at just a few things that we can know for sure. I wanted to mention the law of biogenesis. It's a law. That means the scientists all know it to be true. There's no doubt to it that it is something that is firm, not like the theory of evolution, but it is a law. And in the law of biogenesis, that word, breaking it apart into two pieces, is about the beginning of life. And the law of biogenesis says that life comes from previous life of its own kind. You know, that's exactly what we find in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 11 and 12, when we have the creation account, it says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit of the tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." Then you see in verses 20 and following, you see the birds and the animals, the fish, and eventually man, who all produce after their own kind. This is something that is very important to our discussion, since man stated in his little article that there's millions and millions of evidences for creation, for evolution, excuse me, and nothing for God. Well, God says through his word that everything produces after its own kind. This is written thousands of years ago, and yet here we have science finally admitting, guess what? We understand life produces after its own kind. The Bible makes it very clear how man is created. We are created by reproduction. You know, French microbiologist Louis Pasteur dealt a crushing blow to the idea of spontaneous generation. And for years, people thought that they could take like a sack, a burlap sack or something along those lines, and put some wheat grain in it and wrap it up and throw it in the corner of a barn, and it would produce mice. You know, the grain didn't become mice. The mice came to eat the grain. They also thought if you left meat on the counter that it would somehow create the maggots. And he made it very clear that it came from the flies, not from spontaneous generation. We have to have like matter to create something like unto it. And so, you know, it's important that we understand that very concept of design.
You know, one of the things that science has proven is the fact that the position that they have taken so many times in the past was not correct. And that as the ability to show and the ability to test, they've shown that they had to change, that what they had taught and what they had said was not true. Tom usually points out that I'm older than the rest of you here. But in the years that I've been here, in the years that I've been preaching, so many times there have been great discoveries made in the scientific world in regards to evolution. Things that they have come up with, the monkey called Lucy, I don't know, all of these different things. But in so many of them, I've lived long enough to see that they come out and rule this one out because we've discovered something else, and this wasn't really it. They presented to us, and they presented it to us so many years as if all of these things was absolute factual. You know, you can go almost anywhere you want to, and you'll see the picture of the monkey, and then the monkey will try to stand up, and finally here's what's supposed to look a little bit like a man, dragging his hands on the ground, and you get on down till you finally come, and they'll present that to you just like we've got every bit of the evidence on this. And the only evidence they've got is the man on one end, the monkey on the other. None of the things in the middle are actually there.
You know, that brings us to a good point here. We need to talk about the fossil record, because if there's millions and millions and millions of evidences for evolution, you have to talk about the fossil record. Now, what you're going to do some research, go to apologeticspress.org. Go to some of these other websites where you can see that those supposed fossil records of the supposed missing links are mostly a farce. They don't prove anything what they're claiming they prove, and many of them were hoaxes, you know. And so go to some of those sites and look at some of the evidence for yourself. But I want you to think about this. The fossil record for each one of those transitions would have to be available for every reptile, for every plant, for a man, for a monkey, for a dog, whatever it would be. There would have to be a transitional form, the quote-unquote missing link. There wouldn't be one missing link. There would be millions of them for every single thing that lives on the face of this earth. And yet there's nothing in the fossil record.
When I was at school, I had to take a hard class of science. And I took historical geology. In the historical geology, we had to go on a dig, go out on the side of a hill, mountain. And I found a little fossil that excited my professor. I don't remember the name of the little fellow. He's not very big, but he was the first one to have eyes. And the thing that we looked at, he didn't gradually over, as they would say, a billion years develop eyes. This guy came along and he had eyes, and there he is, and there's not any behind him. When you find him, he has eyes, and you know they would like for you to say, well, there was one before him that didn't have eyes, and then all of a sudden this one developed eyes, but they've never found that one in between.
No, and they won't find it. You know, one of the things that has to be established in order for evolution to be true is that in the fossil record there would have to be a chain of organisms from simple to complex. There would have to be that transition from plant to animal to human. There would have to be all of these transformational groups, you know. But even Charles Darwin, who is often referred to as the father of evolution, claimed the fossil record must be innumerable transitional links, and yet he admits that they're not there. He, in fact, entitled the 10th chapter of his book, The Origin of the Species, on the imperfection of the geological record. He admits there's not a fossil record that proves evolution, and there should be. He suggested that the number of intermediate varieties which have formerly existed must truly be enormous. However, he admitted, geology assuredly does not reveal any such finely graduated chain. And this perhaps is the most obvious and serious objection which can be argued against this theory. The explanation lies, I believe, in the extreme imperfection of the geological record. So what he's saying there is, I know that they're supposed to be there, but they're not there. So here's this young man saying there's millions and millions of records, and by contrast, the father of evolution, Charles Darwin, says they're not there. They're not available. We can't look at them. There's no transitional forms. Not one. They can't find them.
And, you know, for the record, for the most part, Charles Darwin was a theist. He was not an atheist. He believed, but he was afraid. He couldn't prove what he couldn't prove, and he got off into some of these things, as you was pointing out there, and he would say, it ought to be there, and I think that it should be, but it's not there. The proof was lacking. And, of course, there's a lot more proof lacking, some of the things that he taught, as science has discovered a number of other things, such as genes and this part of the makeup of man that he's not even aware of.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, one of the things that caused the evolutionists to say that we all must have come from each other is that there are some similarities between different animals and between man and things along those lines. You know, they have similarities in structure. For instance, the wing of a bat, the forefoot of a turtle, the forefoot of a frog, the arm of a man, all have the same kind of general structure. Or the forefoot of a dog, the flipper of a whale, the hand of a man contain essentially the same kind of muscles. And what they'll say is these similarities prove that we all came from the same ancestor. But, folks, that doesn't mean that we all came from the same ancestor. Let me put it this way. I drove up in my GMC pickup. You drove your pickup.
A Nissan.
Do both of them have wheels? Yes. Do they both have brakes? Yes. Did they come from the same manufacturer? No. Why do they have them? Because they work. You know, if God designed man, and I believe that he did, and he knows what's best, certainly he would use similar structures and multiple things. For instance, the ability to breathe oxygen would require lungs. To pump blood, you'd have a circulatory system with a heart, skin and all the things that it does, eyes and the way they work. A designer knows those things. That's why every manufacturer of a pickup truck has brakes. They have a speedometer. They have a transmission. They know what it takes to make it work. Well, God, who created this world, knows what we need. That's why there's some similarities, because God created each and every one of these animals and us.
You know, in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is in the city of Athens. At the time Paul visited the city of Athens, it was the cultural capital of the world. The statement would be made, anyone that had not been to Athens had not received a full education. They had to go to Athens. This was where, and as the Luke records for us there, that the Athenians spent all of their time either teaching something or learning something. And when they had heard that Paul was preaching, they invited him to the Areopagus up on Mars Hill. And Paul made a statement there that has always been looked at up until 100 years or so ago as being such a strange statement when he made mention of the fact and that he made of one every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. You know, it hasn't been all that long until science and people in general did not believe that the different races of people carried the same blood. You know, that we were all of one origin. And yet this is the thing that the Bible tells us in the beginning. God created man.
Well, you know, God knew what he was doing. He knew when he created man how things would work, how things would function, and we're thankful for his wisdom and how he created us. You know, on the chat box, Kenneth makes a good comment here about man concocting all kinds of theories and assumptions. And so often these become a tool to mislead the minds of our young people, especially in our universities, in our schools, and some not even knowing what they're doing and how they lead them away. But, you know, he makes a good comment that this man is being misled at Tarleton, and I'm sure it's that way in many places, but it's because we've created our own set of rules and systems. We've created our own ideas and thoughts, and we need to realize what Isaiah said is still true. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. He knows what's going on. We need to trust him and follow him. If we try to do it our own way, we're not going to be successful. You know, I often use Jeremiah and his great book to discuss this principle. Jeremiah 10:23, he tells us that it's not in the way of man to direct his own steps. And in chapter 6, verse 16, he tells us, since we're not able to direct our own steps, we need to seek the old paths and follow God's plan. You know, we have to have that trust and faith and understanding in who he is. But it's not without evidence. You know, in Hebrews, very clearly he brings out in Hebrews chapter 11 that there is faith, there is faith, but it's based on substance and evidence. We have evidence. And we see the faith of those people who trusted God and they made changes in their lives. They lived for God. They did everything in their power to do what was right. It's because they knew God was real. They knew that he could be trusted, and so they followed his plan. Folks, we're going to take a break here for just a moment. You have been listening to the HPR Network. We're grateful for your listening, and we'll be back in just a moment.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Denny Wilson, and I am filling in tonight for Tom Moore, who is preaching a meeting in Meridian. He is going to be there this week. Hope you're able to go and attend and participate in that and support him as he's there preaching in that area. We're glad that you're with us tonight. I want to take just a moment and thank the sponsors of this program. Bangs Congregation, De Leon, Dublin, Rising Star, and the 4th and Stewart congregations all help support the work that's here. And, of course, the Park Heights congregation in Hamilton where Tom preaches, and here where we're sitting in the studio here at Hillcrest in Stephenville where David preaches. We're thankful for these congregations and letting the light shine and stand strong for the truth in this part of the world. We're very grateful for these men and the work that they've done, and we're thankful for this program. The HPR Network, which is being broadcast 97.7 FM out of KTX, and then KNNK 100.5, as well as the Know the Truth Radio program, which can be listened on the internet at knowthetruthradio.org or on the TuneIn app on your iPhone or iPad. We're glad that you're with us tonight. We're discussing evolution, and we're talking about some of the things that were brought up where a young man in an article here in the local paper basically said that he rejected Christianity because it was based on faith, there's no evidence, and then he said evolution is beautiful because it has millions and millions of evidences, and we have seen that that is just not the case. Folks, we want you to be remembering those people in Moore, Oklahoma, and others throughout the country tonight as they've suffered from these storms. We understand that there are some 37 who have been confirmed dead at this point, and I'm sure that number is going to climb. So we want to continue to pray for them. We want to continue to do what we can to help, and I'm sure there will be things coming in the next few days where we can assist those who are suffering and who have lost so much. Before we went into the break, we were discussing some things about evolution and the fossil record, and now we want to shift gears just a little bit. Frank, you were talking as we went to break about looking at the comparison and how some would say we need to coexist with evolution, those who have faith.
You know, somebody said that the book of Genesis is the single most ridiculed book in all the Bible. It's foolish, it's anti-scientific, it's a fairy tale. Statements like that are quite often seen about, especially the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. But, you know, the book of Genesis is the foundation of the whole Bible. Every writer of the New Testament has quoted from the book of Genesis. In other words, we have the domino effect. If you're going to deny the book of Genesis, and the reason that we mention this as being important is it has crept into the Christian environment, so to speak, at least insofar as the religious world is concerned. They want to accept some of the things or all of the things that are said about evolution and harmonize it some way with the things that God has done. To do it, you have to deny totally the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. You have to eliminate the origin of man. And the effect of that would be those inspired writers of the New Testament also have to be questioned because they quote the book of Genesis. And so you cannot have evolution and the Bible coexisting and being partners in proclaiming what we know about man. It really comes down to one or the other.
That's right. Well, you know, not too long ago, Bill O'Reilly on his program on Fox basically said the book of Genesis is a myth. It's not to be trusted. It's allegory. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you claim to believe the rest of the Bible, you have to believe that Genesis is true. You know, in Exodus chapter 20, you have a quotation and a reference to Genesis chapter 1. You know, Jesus, as he talks about mararriage in Matthew 19, he goes back to Genesis chapter 2. You know, you have many other things like the symbolism and the idea of Jesus crushing the head of Satan while having his heel bruised, and that seed promise in Genesis 3 being quoted in Galatians chapter 3. You know, you have to believe that Genesis is true in order to believe all of the Bible. And so I realize why someone would make that kind of statement, because it's popular. They don't want to be seeming that they're unintelligent, you know, things along those lines. But the sad part is this kind of mentality is attacking our children. You can't hardly go to a restaurant without having your kids handed a sack that's got pictures of dinosaurs or something along those lines, with statements about how many millions of years ago this occurred, and in their classroom material, and in everything they do, television, they're being bombarded. Some of the latest cartoon movies that have been produced are pushing this evolutionary theory. You know, it's a sad thing. Our children are under attack, and we need to be willing to stand up and fight and say, listen, evolution and creation do not coexist. God created the heavens and the earth, and we have that faith in Him.
The idea of the theory or the of evolution requires extreme amounts of time. You know, they talk in millions of years, and it's not unusual to hear them talk about a billion years. Those are getting to be numbers that I'm not sure that I comprehend how long those periods of time would be. But they talk about the absolute necessity of this extreme length of time for evolution to be true, and that would be true. It would take that much time for what they teach. But then they'll turn around, and you mentioned a moment ago what made me think about it was the dinosaurs. You know, they've come out with, here's what killed off the dinosaurs. And then you have the scientific theory and some evidence of the meteorite that hit the Earth with such force that it changed the whole being of the Earth in an instant of time. You know, instead of it taking a billion years or a million years, they turn right around and say, but now here's something that happened that changed the whole face of the Earth, caused the seas to change places, and it all happened in an instant. They're not consistent in their requirement of time.
Well, no, and when I went to school, they would say a certain period of time. I believe back then it was like 4.6 million years, something like that. You know, now they're talking about millions upon millions upon millions of years, because they have to keep adding time because they know it doesn't work. You have to go back. Something has always had to exist, and they know it wasn't matter. Something has always had to exist, and what has always existed is God. And God created this world, and we're so thankful for the blessing of life. He gives us life, breath, and all things, and it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. From that same passage that you mentioned a moment ago from Acts 17, we're thankful for that. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about as we think about the human body, we want to look at evidence that proves creation rather than this theory of evolution. And one of the things I was thinking about is the human body. For instance, the skin. I don't know if you've studied some of these things before, but where can you find these things? 19 million cells, 625 sweat glands, 90 oil glands, 65 hairs, 19 feet of blood vessel, 19,000 sensory cells. Where do you think you find that? 19 million cells and all these other ingredients, 19,000 sensory cells. Where would we find that? Well, folks, that is on 1 square inch of human skin. That's just amazing to me. You have all these things that are a part of the body, and it protects the body. It keeps us from losing or gaining too much water. It allows us to deal with the sun and temperature. It keeps germs from getting in and out of the body. It helps communicate to our brain whether we're hot or cold or how we're feeling. If we get too hot, we have the sweat glands. You know, it's an amazing thing. You know, the body can produce 2 quarts to over 2 gallons of perspiration in a single day. That's amazing. And that didn't just happen. By the time we are 70 years old, the average person loses about 40 pounds of skin. You know, the skin is the biggest organ in the body. You know, God and his design is seen in the human body. These things didn't just happen.
You know, the psalmist, and just to take a moment to read something to get our thoughts on the idea of God and of creation. David would write, "O Jehovah our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory upon the heavens? And out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast established strength because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him but a little lower than God, crowned him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Jehovah our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth."
Amen. You know, the body is something that proves that excellence and that greatness of God. You know, Psalm 139, verse 14 says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." God is to be praised. He is to be glorified. You know, I was looking at other parts of the body, like muscles. You know that there are 656 muscles in the body, and they're made up of these little tiny fibers, and they all work together, and they allow the body to move and to contract and to expand from the electrical charges from the brain, and they work by getting shorter, and they just work together in a system where they allow you to function without having to consciously think about every little thing. That's God's design. You know, the eyes are amazing. Even Charles Darwin said it would be hard to believe that the eye could have arisen accidentally. You know, he was amazed by the eye as well. The eye gathers over 80% of the knowledge in the body, and it transmits it to the brain. The brain's connected to the eye by 600,000 nerves. That's just amazing. 600,000 nerves that send messages at a speed exceeding 300 miles an hour. Scientists tell us that the eye receives 1.5 million messages at the same time. Listen, I wish my computer could receive more than one or two at a time without crashing. And here the eye, 1.5 million messages at the same time, sorts them, sends them to the brain. The retina covers less than a square inch, and yet it contains 137 million light-sensitive receptors, 130 million rods, 7 million cones. The rods let you see black and white, the cones let you see color. And on any given day, the eye will move about 100,000 times. Now, there's a lot of things we could talk about the eye in and of itself. But just those things alone show you that this cannot be some accident. This took design. It took intelligence. You know, the best scientist in the world can't create a camera or a lens that comes close to the eye. There's nothing like it in the world. And so we see that intelligent design. We see that God has evidence. We see that there is proof, and we can know that God is here.
That which we have of God and of the evidence that we have, that from which we build our faith in a supreme being and a creator. And yet in the evolution world, they're still crying or saying that they build theirs upon evidence. But when we come down to the end, the origin, where their evidence should begin, they run out. There is no evidence for a beginning or an accidental beginning. How many different theories are there on Big Bang theory or garbage dump theory? Or I don't remember. Over the years, I've read many different ones, all of them trying to grasp something that they can hold on to for a beginning. but they always run up to the same point. They have to have something coming from nothing, which even the scientist himself tells you
it's not possible.
Not possible.
Yeah, the law of thermodynamics. First and second law, it can't come from anything. You know, there's lots of principles that prove that. As we already said from Genesis 1, the seed produces after its own kind. You know, in mathematics, anything times zero is zero. You know, there has to be something there, and that is God. God was there. You know, we have talked about some of the things about evolution and some of the things that prove creation, but, you know, God said through the Apostle Paul in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8 that we wanted to know the truth, and if we would abide in His Word, John 8:31 and 32, we could know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We can know it. John, as he's writing this book in chapter 20, tells us that there are many other things that could have been written, but what was written so that we could know, we could have proof, we could have evidence, that we could believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in His name. The Bible makes it clear we can know the truth. We can know it from creation, as we already started talking about. We can know it when we look at the beauty of the world that God has created, Psalm 19. You know, we can see it from the Word itself. We should be able to know there is a God.
You know, when we pick up the Bible and just look at the book itself, written over the number of centuries that is covered from the writing of the first of Genesis, recorded for us by Moses, to the closing last chapter of the book of Revelation, the number of individuals, 40 different individuals involved in writing it, many, many of them obviously not knowing each other, and yet when you look at all of this put together, the absolute harmony, the lack of conflict, how that one leads right into the other, one is a fulfillment of the other, this within itself is an evidence to anyone with an open mind that wants to look.
That's
There's
right.
no other book like it.
That's 1,600 years, 40 different writers, and no contradictions. That you can't get 10 men to sit down and describe the football game and tell it the same way. How can you get 40 men over 1,600 years to talk about God the same way?
In the same way.
You know, you were mentioning earlier that you had some thoughts that as we were starting to wrap up that you wanted to share that draw us back to really some of the concepts of why we believe. You know, we asked at the start, why do some people believe in evolution? Now let's ask the question, why do some people believe in God?
Okay, I'd like to read just a comment or two that answers that. Why do you believe the Bible? Because I want to believe it. Now, that within itself is a tremendous thought. You know, he has a conscious choice of what he wants to seek and to study and to find. I want to believe the Bible.
Right.
A thousand logical reasons compel me, a person of reason, to accept it as that which it affects to be. I want to believe the Bible because in it is the solution of life. Here and here alone is the meaningful direction and guidance, the only real assurance of ultimate triumph and happy destiny. I want to believe the Bible because the best people of the world have always believed the Bible. I want to believe the Bible because it teaches me that the grave is not the goal of man, and that there is life, glorious, unending life after death. I shrink from the thought that the tomb is the terminus of us all, and that we, like the beasts of the earth, simply die and are no more. So I want to believe the Bible because it assures me that if I live faithfully here, I shall one day be privileged to live forever in the land of delight, where sorrow, suffering, and death can never come. I shall resist with all of the power of my being any effort which would take from me this unspeakable hope.
That's beautifully said. I believe in the Bible because I want to. I believe because of the evidence. I believe because of those who have gone before. Folks, we need to trust in God. We need to trust His plan. You know, one of the things that he mentions there is that he believes in part because he realizes there's something after this life. You know, we want to go to heaven, don't we?
You know, Paul, when he answered the question the Corinthians asked concerning life after death, if we have hoped, and there he has in Christ, in this life only,
right,
then we're of all men most to be pitied.
That's right.
You know, what would there be? What would be, what motive if we're going to have 60, 70 years and that's it?
That's right. That's right. You know, that's a beautiful chapter, 1 Corinthians 15. He starts off by saying that here's the evidence. Jesus came to this world. He lived. He died. He was buried. He was resurrected. He was seen. There's evidence of his resurrection. And now we have hope because of that resurrection. If we follow his plan, we're going to get to go to heaven because he's going to deliver the kingdom to the Father. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. We're going to be raised. We're going to go to be with the Father. And we have victory over death. We have victory over sin through Jesus Christ. And so we ought to be hard-working, faithful people who live for that eternal home someday.
The Apostle John, when he wrote the final letters that he penned, he began by speaking concerning the Christ of whom he spoke. I saw him, and I touched him.
That's right.
This is the evidence that he was presenting to those to whom he was writing. And not he only, but however many different ones that were mentioned that saw him after his resurrection.
Yeah, I love that kind of a statement that says, here's the proof. I've seen it. I've touched it. I've heard it. We were there. You know, they knew it. And so they've recorded for us in the New Testament God's will and the truth that we can be saved if we will follow his plan. You know, Steve Weeks, who has a program coming up here in just a moment, he mentioned that I must believe the Bible because there is truth nowhere else. That's true, too. You know, people are seeking for truth. They're seeking for answers. They're seeking for hope. They're seeking for comfort. They're seeking for love. And the truth is, if they want those things, they need to come to God. How do they do that?
And, you know, the thing that we've been saying, talking about creation, the message of creation, the message of the Bible has never changed.
That's right.
Everything that the evolutionist has and stands for, he has at one time or another, and usually many times, changed it.
That's right.
Because the evidence that he has continually changes.
Well, Jesus said that my word will never pass away, right?
Absolutely.
We can trust it. We can have confidence in it. We can stand firmly on the Bible, you know, on that little kid song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. You know, maybe we need to be singing that more in our worship and Sunday morning as Christians, encouraging each other to stand up and do what's right. You know, we have about 5 minutes left, folks, and I want you to know that we're thankful for you being here. We're thankful for you listening tonight. I know that there's a lot of things that draw away our attention, especially watching the news coverage and the tragedy that has occurred tonight. And we're mindful of those who are suffering so much throughout this country, especially those who have lost their lives and their families in the Moore area and others around the storms that were in Cleburne and Granbury this past week. We hurt so much over those people, but folks, we understand the brevity of life. Life is but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. We need to take these matters seriously.
You know, there's one whole chapter of the book of Revelation, a book that is often misused and misunderstood by so many people, where he describes so many of the different terrible things that happen in the world in which we live. You know, we live in a world that has tornadoes. We live in a world that has tsunamis. We live in a world that has different kinds of hurricanes and tragedies. And the whole point, I think, that he's making in that chapter of Revelation is that as we look around the world and we see all of these things happening, how thankful we need to be that we have a God so that we can know that this is not the end of the matter. These things happen, but if we're prepared to meet God, if we're living in the way that we ought to live, so these things happen, we simply move on to the world that He's prepared for us, that is eternal and everlasting. And we can learn a lesson from those things.
That's exactly right. You know, we would be remiss if we didn't tell people how they could be a part of the saved, a part of the group that is going to enter into that land of rest. You know, people must believe the truth. Without believing that Jesus is the Christ, they'll die in their sins, John 8, verse 24. So they need to know about Jesus, and we need to be preaching about Jesus and telling them about the man who is also God, who gave His life on the cross so that we might live, so that we can be washed in His blood and have that eternal life. We have to have that faith.
We have a wonderful opportunity. We sometimes use the word a little bit different from the way they use it in the New Testament, the word repent. You know, what a wonderful opportunity that is. You know, the idea of repentance means to change of heart, to change the direction of our life, because Christ came, loved us so much that He's willing to die upon the cross. We can change the direction of our life.
That's right. And it's a conscious choice, just like we've been talking about before, to believe in God and to make that change. We also must make that confession of our faith. We don't want to hide it under a bushel. We don't want to do it in secret. We want to let people know of our faith, like Timothy, who made the good confession in the presence of men. We want to give that good confession that we read about in Acts chapter 8, as you have that Ethiopian, the eunuch who is taken down into the water, and before he's baptized, he's asked, "Do you believe?" He said, "Yes, I believe. I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God." And he was baptized into Christ.
And when Nicodemus went to Jesus and asked concerning entrance into the kingdom of God, Jesus answered, said, "You must be born again." Nicodemus had a little bit of problem understanding that.
That's right.
Until Jesus says, "You've got to be born of the Spirit and of the water." And then we turn over and read Paul's writing in the Corinthian letter, where he said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature.
That's right.
He's been born again.
He's a new creation.
Paul to the Galatians said, "Well, for by faith are you all sons of God."
That's right.
"For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ."
On Christ.
And Romans tells us that we are raised to walk in a new life.
That's exactly right. Folks, we hope that you have listened to this last few minutes in particular so that you can have the faith in God that can save your soul. If you need help with that, don't hesitate to call us. Answer us on the chat box. You can call me and DeLeon at the Church of Christ. You can call Frank. Whatever it takes, we want to study with you and help you any way that we can. Folks, we're so grateful that you're listening with us here tonight on the HPR Network, 97.7 FM and 100.5 FM. And we're thankful for all those who are listening through knowthetruthradio.org and those listening on the TuneIn app. It has been a privilege and an honor to be with you. Keep those people that are suffering in Oklahoma in your prayers. Keep those people in West and Cleburne and Granbury and others who are suffering in your prayers. Folks, we need to not only pray for them, we need to get to work. So help how you can and put God first in all that you do. Thank you for listening tonight. We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate all those who have been on the chat box. Keep David in your prayers. Keep Tom in your prayers as he's preaching this week in Meridian. And again, if you have any questions, comments, or need help in any way, don't hesitate to let us know. This has been the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible, and you have been listening to the HPR Network.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the
Thank you for tuning in for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 254-629-2622 or email your questions to questions@harrisandmore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore, Expedition Through the Bible. Heard every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on this radio station and the HPR network. You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.
KATX Eastland 97.7.
And criminals in the news, two young men jailed in Fresno after one accidentally butt-dialed 911 before they broke into a car. The dispatcher was able to pick up clues about the men's location. Within seconds, a squad car was on their tail. At the end, the men sound surprised at how they were caught.
I've seen rain, it's a sunny day.
It'll rain a sunny day.
Now let's take a look at our weather map.
HPRN.
Your weather forecast for the cities of Eastland, Ranger, a 30% chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon near the dry line. Some of these severe, large hail damaging winds. Temperatures in the upper 90s. Temperatures in the upper 60s. With over the lows in the upper 70s. The latest weather updates on network on meteorologist for the HBR network on meteorologist.
On the HBRNetwork.com.
More sports. Hear it all live.
Online at HBRNetwork.com.
I gotta get on that internet.
Welcome to the internet, my friend.
Area high school sports heard live on this station and HPRN.
Catch it all on HBRNetwork.com.
Live regional sports coverage.
Go team, go!
www.HBRNetwork.com.
HPRN's home for the best mix of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. KATX, the classic hits.
Classic hits.